You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ride or Cry podcast. We have Meg and Dia. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to our lovely podcast. How are you guys doing?
Does it smell like fire?
We didn't smell anything, but we did see the large fans out front, and I was wondering what was going on.
Yeah, there's a fire yesterday.
But it's just the weirdest place to have a fire because it's a cement building. So where is it going to go?
Yeah, it's also the... There's nothing... This building has never been, like, good. Like, there's one elevator that's worked the entire time that we've been here.
And they always shoot movies, so it's like that one elevator has just, like, production stuff and... I don't know. It's constantly a challenge being here.
Yeah, do you guys have that app, Citizen?
No.
It's like the app where you can see like the crimes that go on.
Oh,
like,
God, that would be so bad for me.
Yeah,
I'm really glad I don't have that app.
I screenshotted this last night. Let me just show you. But anyway, so the app yesterday was like, we got an alert. It was like fire in 2404 Wilshire. And we're like, huh. That's our building, but look at this. So you get, like, alerts like this.
Man armed with sword at Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Armed with sword.
With sword at Hollywood Boulevard. So that, like, you get, like, you see everything that's in, like, a radius around you. So we got, like, a fire, like, you know.
I feel like I would run toward that. I'd want to see man with sword at Hollywood Boulevard.
I got this app and I was like, these happen all around me. Like, there's got to be, like, one of these times I'm going to see something. And I was on, like, Larchmont having a meeting and I got an alert, like, in the meeting and it was, like, man exposing himself. And, like, it was, like, 2 feet away and I was like, excuse me, you guys, I have to leave this. I have to go see this. So, like, I, like, went outside and I was like, saw a citizen. And they're like, hey, this is not work related. I was like, I'm not going to see a citizen. What are you, Matt? Just fixing volumes?
A little bit.
Alright. Anyway, welcome to our podcast. Thank you guys for coming in.
No, thanks for having us.
I know it's... Do you guys usually wake up this early?
Meg wakes up very early. And because she's been staying at my house for over a month, I'm starting to wake up early. And I'm also starting to eat breakfast now. Things are changing.
Meg's eating pizza at midnight. So we're starting to get into each other's... habits.
Is that what you
nice.
Do?
Yeah, I eat pizza at midnight and I like some kind of ice cream cone every single day.
Like after you get into bed?
No, pre-bed.
Pre-bed?
Pre-bed. Mm. I do like floss, brush my teeth. I'm somewhat adult, but not really.
I'm going to go into bed for like an hour and then wake up and then eat. That's what I did that last night. Like I brought my girlfriend home pizza and she didn't eat it and I was like, because then I know that, like, I'm going to, like, go to bed, she's going to fall asleep, and then I'm going to be like, I got pizza later. Like, it's like, I like, enjoy doing that. Like, I'm like a fucking kitchen elf.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I do the opposite of all of this, and I do intermittent fasting. So at, like, 8, I just am like, I'm not eating anymore, and then...
Does that work? How long have you been doing that for?
Well, so... Yeah, I don't know what works, but I've lost 12 pounds in 3 months. So, like, I think it's a combination of a lot of things I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I think for intermittent fasting, the thing I like about it is I don't like the idea of just, like, snacking at whenever, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I want to, in my mind, be able to be like, okay, so I'm not eating after 8. Until whatever, like 10 the next day.
What is the gap? Is it 7?
So it just has to be more than 12 hours.
So no eating for 12 hours.
Yeah, but usually it should be more, like 16 hours.
When is your window to eat?
I just do like 12 hours. You can switch your window too. And I'm also not that strict about it. Like I'm not insane. If, you know, if I'm out till 10 and I happen to eat later, then it's fine. But I don't know. I feel like I would just snack into the night all the time. And then, I don't know. It just makes me feel worse about myself. Because it also, it's like hard to sleep if you eat a bunch of sugar or like snacks and shit.
I don't know. M&M's pizza.
Yeah, I mean, so I pay the price though. I'm well aware of the price and I pay the price.
Yeah, no, like I'm willing to do that. But like, I don't, we work so much. Like we work so much. I'm like, what's going to make me happy right now?
Yeah.
Midnight pizza. Like, fuck it. Like, fine, I'm going to do this and watch Will and Grace. And it's like the moment I get before we like head into work and like, I don't look at my calendar. Today's fucked. You know, like today's just like a gnarly day. So I was like, I'm just going to do the last thing that makes me fucking happy before we dive into this.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's important, you know? Like you could be eating kale and be like so angry and like upset that you're eating kale. Right? It's probably better for you to be like really happy eating pizza.
And I don't eat like shit. Like I rarely eat like terribly. Like I don't like greasy foods that like makes me feel bad. Mm-hmm. Like pizza's like a rarity. But I was in Hollywood and I like Joe's Pizza a bunch. So, like, every time I go to Hollywood, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a pizza. It's, like, not that bad, right?
No, yeah, you're fine.
Where do y'all live?
Silver Lake.
How come you guys
live in Meg's in Utah.
Salt Lake.
You live in Salt Lake City?
Oh, we both live in lakes. I didn't even realize.
Wait, well, how come, so, who's staying with him?
So, Meg is staying with Dia. Okay. I'm just going to say that to clarify while we do podcasts together.
Nice.
Yes.
How come?
Well, it just seemed easier to do everything in LA. All the producers that we love are here and you guys are here. Just everything's here.
Oh, we're here.
Well, is there another fire happening?
But you guys are done recording the album, right?
We're done.
It comes out next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, when this comes out, it will have come out.
Oh, yeah. It's out now. It's out now, everybody.
But then is it to take meetings and stuff or is it just to be here? Because I know you guys are also going to Warped Tour. It's like, obviously, do you travel together?
We travel together. We're rehearsing today for Warped Tour.
Cool.
So we rented out a little rental spot. Our drummer's flying in now from Nashville. So
okay, cool. Where do you guys rehearse normally?
Bedrock or SIR. Okay. So just like get a room.
Bedrock is a maze.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just a fun environment because walking around there, everybody, you know, just everybody's playing music and getting creative and probably smoking a lot of weed.
Oh, yeah.
it's just really fun.
I love Bedrock, except when I like go to get like water, it takes me a long time to like get back to where I like a practice spot because like we don't have like a, like whenever I play, like play in a mail, like it's like we rent a space and it's not like one we own. So like it's a giant maze. Do you guys, I like can't figure my way around.
I like it. What do you play?
I barely sing. I don't do it.
I grew up playing in bands.
So it's like hard for me to not be in a band.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things I can't get rid of.
It's a way to express yourself. I think that's so important.
Yeah. So like, you know, it's just like one of those things, like I'm not doing it. Like we have so much stuff to do here that like, but occasionally like I'll play a show because like we really, really want to. It's like hard. It's when you're not doing that, you like really miss it. Like you really feel like you're like, oh, something's missing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, occasionally, and I say like really like once a year, I'll like play a show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, I don't know. How long have you guys not been?
We've been separated. Whenever Meg and I start talking about each other this way, I'm like, you are my boyfriend.
It sounds like a
We've been separated for about 10 years. So we kind of fell out after I was on The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gradually fell out. It just built up until it disintegrated. And then we weren't talking. And we had...
You guys also don't have to talk about anything you don't want to talk about.
I'm an open book, and Meg is much more careful. So I'm always like, I'll talk about anything. This is my life. But
well, do you think it's like being family and then working together was tough or no?
I think it's a lot of stuff. It's like, Meg, do you want to talk about it? Because I don't know what you want to talk about.
Sure, we can talk about it.
I was just. Right after being on The Voice, we'd gone from performing together for years. We had so many albums out and done so many things together. And I went on The Voice not thinking I would move forward in it at all. We had just released a Megan Dia album called Cocoon. And our manager was like, you should audition for the show. And it might be a good way to get some eyes on you. And then people will Google you and find Megan Dia. And it's kind of like free publicity for the album. And then I ended up going farther on the show than... any of us had really expected. We had very low expectations for me.
Nice. That's the way you gotta live. Just low expectations.
But I ended up being on Team Blake, and he was actually so wonderful.
He seems awesome.
He's just as awesome as he is on camera.
Really?
Because just working in L.A. and Hollywood, you see, you know, once the cameras go off,
yeah,
it's like, okay, oh, this person is insane. Yeah. And this person is a crazy bitch and treats the crew like crap or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
Were they other ones like that?
Actually, the other coaches were really nice. I didn't really spend any time with them, but I did hear that one of them was like kind of always late or like not really, you know, just a little bit behind, but was always kind when they got there, but they're probably really busy.
Late is fine.
Yeah. Late is okay. But yeah, so after that happened, all of a sudden it kind of became the Dia Frampton show, and Meg and I were kind of juggling that, and there was a lot of feelings happening.
Meg. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes
Meg's
sense.
Meg's nodding her head.
So then were you performing solo at the same time that you guys were also performing together?
No, Meg and Dia kind of just stopped.
Okay, so at that point it just stopped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there was just Rocket Fuel going on in the other direction. And it was hard because you would think that things would translate over. Like I could do another Meg and Dia album, or I could do something, but it just seemed like I got picked up for a solo album through Universal. One thing that people don't know about The Voice is when you get onto the show, they kind of sign an option to pick up everybody.
Oh, wow.
So I think like 70 artists signed contracts technically with Universal Records. So, you know, if you got kicked off like the very first rounds, they could still pick you up if people really loved you and they felt something, like you could have a record contract. So I got picked up and kind of was thrown into the solo career, and they were putting all this money behind a solo album. It wasn't my plan ever. And it felt really weird. I wouldn't say that I wanted it or I didn't want it. It kind of just happened. Right. And I thought,
this and you is were a like, good opportunity. I should go with this.
Yeah. I should see where this goes. And, I feel like it opened a lot of doors along the road, but it also was really strange, and it was really strange not playing with Meg.
Yeah. Like, how do you go like from doing that to, if you weren't planning on it, like, were there songs that you were putting out that you have written, like we're writing together, or you just wrote, and you're like, how do you pick and choose to like what you're going to put out by yourself? Like, did you get like a team of writers? Like, did you, since it wasn't planned, like how do you go about writing songs on like an album that was like completely not expected?
Yeah. That was the weird thing was after The Voice, everyone, and when I say that, the label, they said, we need to get an album out ASAP. So there wasn't the, you know, long period of time of nurturing and picking producers and stuff. So they threw me in writers' rooms with all of, like, the top writers, the top producers, which is interesting because for Meg and I's album, Happy Sad, we worked with just, you know, really great producers, but nobody humongous.
Were they, like, your friend? Like, your friend?
Yeah, they're all our friends. And I would say, you know, working with producers who've done the top artists when I was on The Voice to our friends now, it just feels so much better with our friends. Yeah. It just feels so much warmer. And I feel like everybody's hungry and everybody's just trying to be creative and collaborate. And they're all so talented and interesting.
It's like less of like, how do we make a hit? And more of like, how do we make a song that everybody really, really likes and have a good time that everybody enjoys? Like, I know that. I know that. Like, a lot of my friends are producers. And so, like, I hear the way that they talk when they're, like, in with artists. And then also, like, when they do stuff that they like. It's, like, the vibe is completely different. It's totally different. And it's, like, I go into this every single time. I, like, really like a song for a song, not sounds. It's, like, it's my fucking, like, I have, like, a really, really, really big, big problem with, like, just trying to write a song and find the formula to make a hit. And they're like, the sound will make it a hit. And I'm like, sound doesn't fucking make it a hit. It's a fucking song. It's like, you can watch an awesome movie, right? Like, you can watch a movie that looks great. It's like fantastic, colored, awesome, like everything shot beautifully. But if the fucking movie's like not a good story, then it's not a good movie, you know? And so like, it can look great. It can like be presented great. The marketing can be fucking amazing. But if it's not there, it's not there. And so, like, that's what I've been finding with, like, a lot of my friends who are producers. They're, like, trying to find the right, exactly the right formula to make a hit. But if the song and the feeling isn't there, then it's, like, an empty shell of a thing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been, I mean, that's just fucking what I've been yelling about for the last, like, 5 years that we've been doing this thing.
Whenever you try to go into a session to write a hit, it never works out. And when you go into a session with friends and you're just writing and having fun, that's when something magical could happen.
So that's this new album. Is that this, is this new album that?
Yeah. So I think when you were actually just saying that, one of the songs came to mind, which is my favorite song. It's called The American Spirit. And we wrote it after we took a day off. So we had been, like, in the studio, like, pounding it hard, trying to figure out, like, what we're gonna write and, like, you know, racking our brains. And then one day we said, let's just take the day off, let's go hang out, like, in this beautiful park, and just, like, got quiet and took a walk and weren't really focusing on music. And then the inspiration for that song came the next day, I think.
I mean, do you think that it's just as important to take that time? Like, I don't know, Babs and I run into this issue all the time, which is, like, it's just as important to take time away from the things that you're doing to make the things that you're doing better. But it's hard to do that because you're like, I feel like, I mean, at least for me, I'm like, I have to keep, if I stop working and if I stop doing this stuff, I'd become unproductive, but really, like, burn out, and, like, you need that break, and, like, you'll never, I don't know, we have to, like, schedule time to, like, to, like, fucking, like, take off to make our jobs better, or else we just, you know.
Mm-hmm. But so what did you guys do on that day off that sort of inspired that?
So we went to the Self-Realization Fellowship, like, what meditation is that? Gardens.
What is that? Oh, my God. Tell me everything, please.
Just perked up.
Meg can talk all about meditation, yoga, spiritual retreats for hours.
Okay. Yeah, so, tell me everything.
Okay. So, it's just, so we were producing with one of our producers, Seth, and his studio is right next to the Self-Realization Fellowship Gardens. Okay. And this is, there's just this guy, his name is escaping me now because I kind of, like, stopped following him so intensely, but he's just this, like, guru man. He wrote.
And where is this?
It's in, where is Seth's?
It's near Malibu.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly where it is. I can't remember if it's what you're calling it, too. I felt like it was called
Self-Realization.
Oh, no. But there's this there's this beautiful lake there. It looks like you're just away from LA. You guys should really go. I'll look
can
it
anyone
up and
just
send
go?
It to
or
you.
Or
yeah, you can just go.
You just show up.
I got kicked out the last time I went because I was in, like, cut off jeans.
Okay.
Which
is
totally inappropriate.
Is there, like,
is there food there?
There's not.
No.
Fuck. Okay.
And you can't take your phone. Or, like, I guess you can take your phone, but you can't take pictures. You can't really have it out.
It's like a church. You have to treat it like you're going to church.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a religion. It's a religious thing. It's very, like, spiritual, religious thing. So you need to, like, be respectful.
Okay. Cool.
You know, I should have known that when I went. But yeah, so we went.
Jeans aren't disrespectful.
Yeah, wait, what? No, you're fine. I'm not going in disrespectful.
Well, it would be like what you would wear if you were going to church, was the way it was explained to me.
Okay. Mm.
Just for people who are thinking about visiting. But yeah, so I was really into meditation at the time and, like, spirituality and going on the search. I still am, but I'm going about it in a different way. And I'm a lot more careful because I fell into this, like, listening too much to spiritual authority and the guru knows and mm-hmm. this, you know, this person knows. And I got into, like, Buddhism and, like, meditation, and I just kind of, like, stopped listening to my own intuition, which is really funny because that's, like, counterintuitive to what they all say, you know, like, listen to your heart, quiet down your mind, figure out what's true for you. And I just, like, kind of lost myself while I was searching for myself.
I mean, that's true in, you know, in the whole spiritual world is, you know, like, I got really into reading Eckhart Tolle, but I got so into it that it became that. I was like, well, what would Eckhart do?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, like, that's the exact opposite of what he's trying to tell you.
Exactly.
So I put down his books for a second. But I also went to see him speak, and it was like a religious experience.
Yeah.
I was crying because it was just so cool to see this man who, I don't know, almost killed himself and then found his path to enlightenment and like figured out how to, you know, make it in this world that is so fucked up.
I don't know anything about him. Why did he almost kill himself?
He just was unhappy and he almost committed suicide. Yeah. Or he tried to and I think maybe failed or and then kind of was like, I have to, you know, turn my life around. But he's this very old foreign man with a really funny accent, but he's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, it's like the more you read about it, you want to know about it, and then you get kind of trapped in.
Yeah, and then you kind of are like, okay, well, I have to meditate like 6 hours a day, yeah. Which is what I got into, and like
6 hours.
Well, I went to like a silent retreat.
Okay, that's my dream.
3 weeks.
I really want to go to one.
Wait, was it 3 week silent retreat?
It was 6 weeks, but I ran away.
Nice.
Negligent escaped.
Was it the first one you went to?
No. So okay. I had done like two separate 1 week silent retreats before that. Yeah, okay. I kind of have it as a, you have to go do like a shorter amount of time before you go do the 6 week one. And when I escaped, I had to literally like take my phone out to the woods.
Like run and walk
they
me through this.
They probably would have let me go, but like the shame of it and just like the embarrassment and like I had a teacher and you know, it's kind of funny if you ever like really need to talk to somebody, you can grab this red telephone on the wall. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed it on like the fourth day and I was just like, where's the telephone? Where's the goddamn telephone? I like run to the wall, like grab the telephone. I was like, please, I need help. I need support. This like man takes me into this room and I was just like, I don't think I should be here. I'm freaking out. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel awful. And he was just, he just didn't know what to do with me. And I was kind of like, you guys, this is not right for me, you know? And I just felt so embarrassed. And like, I had to like sneak my phone into my coat and like silently meditate out into the front porch so I could like silently walk to the woods to call a cab to take me back to home.
So you escaped. Like yeah. You just dipped.
Got my suitcase and like made sure nobody's in the cafeteria.
Which has
like,
gotta be fucking hard if it's a silent place.
Yeah,
like, you have to like legitimately like tiptoe out of there.
Yeah. I need to do downward dog like yeah. out in the hall. But it was so funny because we're on a group text with our five sisters. Yes, you heard that right. There's six girls. So we're on a group text with our five sisters and our mom. And we have, you know, it's one of those things where you get like 70 texts a day of just like all this bullshit. And
oh, yeah.
I just texted like, oh, look at me in my Halloween costume. And then all of a sudden Meg just chimes in out of nowhere like, oh, haha, funny. And I was like, Meg.
No, she's out.
She's out. She's out. Like, it's been like a week. She's supposed to be at her silent retreat. I called her and she picks up. I'm like, Meg. And something happened. I can't remember what it was, but I was like crying. I'm like, I needed to talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah, you said that you like had a vision. Like you visualized needing me for something.
I needed you for something. I don't know if it was like, it's like something bad
and like,
happened.
I had a vision that I like talked to you.
Yeah, I was just crying and I was like, oh, you're out.
That's how I felt. I was like, I'm out.
Wait, so that was like the turning point and you're like, all right, I gotta fucking stop doing this as heavily as I've been doing this.
Okay, so there was an ayahuasca trip involved and then the silent retreat.
What's that like?
Oh my gosh.
I knew if I brought that up, the ayahuasca always takes over the whole interview.
It's insane.
But you done that?
I watched Meg, okay, don't be mad at me, but I watched Meg like post ayahuasca trip, which I didn't realize this, but I've been learning a bit about it, and don't quote me because I really don't know, but I've heard that after ayahuasca for months, you can kind of have some things happening to you, like depression or, you know, like divorcing your partner, or like insecurities or like physical things that can happen to your body. So there's a lot of post ayahuasca shit that goes down that I was around for, but yeah. Meg went to Peru and then you escaped again.
Oh, you're an escape artist.
I kept trying to like escape myself, and then I realized like the best way to find yourself is just to stay in your own life.
Yeah,
but it took me like pretty much going to like all these different places and trying all these different things to realize all I gotta do is like walk down the street and try to order like a coffee.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
like,
all
you know,
I need
that,
to do to learn
like,
about myself.
But that's all a part of it. You know, yeah. I feel like people put so much pressure on like, okay, if I'm in a yoga class, like I have to make it the hour or I failed, you know, mm-hmm. instead of like maybe at 45 minutes being like, oh, I'm kind of over it. Like I've done what I could and leaving. And I feel like all that kind of stuff is like you tried all these things and then you realize that really you just needed to be in your own life.
That's true.
But I think most people don't do that. Most Most people are like just sit in their lives and they're unhappy and they are like at a job that they hate and they're surrounded by people that make them feel like shit. Oh, and nice. Then they just sit in it, you know?
You're making me feel so much better.
It's true though. It's so true. It's like you did all this stuff that people are scared to do, you know? Or even a silent retreat is my dream, but like the thought of leaving the office and like not having contact and like being out of control of like what's going on here, or even I guess just being silent for a week or two, I know I can.
And especially with your mentality of like, it's my dream. Yeah. Like, I know you'll have a good experience because of how you're approaching it.
I literally get newsletters because there's one in Joshua Tree, retreat.
Like,
and I get newsletters because I know one day I'll like read it and the dates will be like good, you know, and I'll just go.
In my ayahuasca trip. I was like, one day I would really like to try ayahuasca, you know, because I kind of was doing that thing. I was in the job. I was in like a relationship with a really loving man, but it wasn't like right for me at the time. And I got that email that was like, this day and you can come to South America. It's like, fuck yeah, I'm doing that.
You're so sick.
Meg's totally that person too. Like if she called me up and was like, I can't play the show, I'm going to go to Rome, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, you're just like, Meg. Yeah.
Meg. Do it after the show.
Wait, so the trip was, what's like, the, what's...
Okay. Yeah. So let's get into that a little bit. I'll try not to talk too much.
I think that there's a fucking thing is that everybody's interested in it.
Okay.
Like, it's like one of those things people really want to hear about. Like, if I heard somebody talk on a podcast about an ayahuasca trip, I would be like, I would be absolutely invested in it.
This is the thing. It's kind of like how... Like, you keep, if you were a virgin and you hadn't had sex yet, and people were like, oh my God, you gotta have sex. Like, it's so great. And then, like, somebody's trying to explain, like, how to have sex to somebody who hasn't. Like, well, this is what you do, and this is what, and they're kind of just looking at you like,
I kind of want to hear that conversation.
Also,
okay, this is how you have sex. And then we'll go into how you have, like, take ayahuasca.
I'm going to tell you about it,
but it's going to be so underwhelming because it's not going to be like how it is, okay?
Sure.
I'm going to preface it with that.
Okay, all right,
great. This is how it is. So, I went to South America, hadn't really spent a lot of time, like, traveling on my own. Like, Dia and I traveled a lot when we were in the band and went all over the world, but this was different. Because I had an intention to do this mind-altering, like, conscious-altering plant medicine. So there's a drug.
And is it something that, like mm-hmm. you signed up for and they're like, hey, here are the dates that align for it? Like, how does that work out? Or did you seek it? Or did it, like, it came to you?
And you also had to do, like, crazy diet before.
Sought it out. But this is the thing about that. Like, I used to... I don't know how I feel about, like... things coming into your life that you're searching for and then them just showing up. Because I've done that a lot and it's happened a lot, but I almost feel like if you set that intention out there, then you also kind of are like subconsciously doing things that kind of bring it in. So it's not so much like a magic thing. It's like you kind of set that intention and kind of like it feels like magic because you kind of bring it in.
So it's kind of like you don't see restaurants until you get hungry.
Yeah. And then you see them and you can find it. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So I had to do a diet
it's
where...
It's the smartest thing that's ever been said in this room. I'm just saying, you know.
That was Dia, by the way, not Meg.
A lot of smart stuff has been said in this room.
Okay, where were we? Okay.
You take the ayahuasca.
So you do the diet, which is like, you can't have sugar, you can't have really salt, like no caffeine, no alcohol, you can't have sex, you can't do anything that you try to get like as pure as possible so that ayahuasca is essentially supposed to be a mirror to show you like things that you need to work on that you don't know or are too afraid to see. Essentially, conceptually, that's how they explain it. Whether it is actually like that, I don't know. Well, I kind of do. So anyway, so then I go to South America.
Wait, how long do you do that diet for?
So for 2 weeks before and then two weeks after.
Okay.
So no sugar, no booze, no banging.
Yeah. So at the time I felt very kind of like, I don't know, a little like if you don't have meat in a while, just feel a little bit light, you know? And I also like took some antibiotics before I left, which you're not supposed to do. And I was freaking out about that. So I was kind of like in a weird state to begin with. Anyway, we get there. I'm supposed to do it 7 times over a 2 week period. And this is my first week time ever doing
7
it.
Times?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I was like gung ho about this. Like I wanted to rip it out, like get the demons out.
meet them or have a conversation with them or whatever was supposed to happen. So I go there. They kind of like introduce a shaman to you, explain how everything's supposed to happen. I went to kind of like a westernized version. So I wasn't in like a tent, like out in the jungle. Well, I kind of was, but it was like a nice tent. You know, there was like, yeah, like really nice food. You like glamped ayahuasca. Yeah, it was like a glamping ayahuasca trip, but it was like.
Which is fair. Like, that's what I would do.
Yeah. I'd be like, I don't want to be completely cheap. It wasn't cheap. Yeah. And the woman there was very sweet, like a great healer. Like, she's very professional. And everybody went there was super nice. And there was a shaman, you know, and there's a translator. And it was very well done. So that wasn't the issue. Like, it's very high quality ayahuasca. And so the first few days, they explain everything to you, like get you to feel comfortable, explain what's going to happen, show you, like tell you that you're going to barf, that they're going to need to like, you're going to need help to get to the bathroom. Like sometimes you can't talk or walk, which was an issue for me later on. But so after I've done it, I could have seen how like some better explanation and preparation could have been important. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, like I've done acid and I've done mushrooms, right, and like those things were fine. So this is going to be the same, right? Sure. Not the same.
It's not the, so, it's not the same.
Yeah, not the same.
But so, is it kind of close to mushrooms?
It's
like
so
a little bit or not like, totally different?
Mushrooms is like the tip of the iceberg, I feel
okay,
like.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But you know what? It's really different for different people. So the woman next to me, she didn't feel anything the whole night.
What?
She kept drinking like, it's kind of like a sake, like shot glass. And she had like 6 or 7 by the end of the night. Whereas I had one and was like tripping out. And I just kept looking at her just like, how are you asking for more of this shit? Like, I'm going crazy over here.
What does it taste like?
Oh, it tastes
is it like, disgusting?
It tastes like tree root dirt that's been like fermented in kimchi juice for like 20 years with like some tar.
Oh, you know it's good because it
guys,
tastes like
tree. Yeah. You sold it.
I'm starving.
Dude, it is so awful. And they say it keeps on getting worse if you keep drinking it.
Mm.
But okay, so
yeah,
you go in this circle, you have this ceremony. It's pitch black. You do it at night so that you can really get like into yourself. And so you're on your little like yoga mat with like a blanket and a pillow and then a vomit bucket.
And you're with like in a room, are you with like in a room full of people?
Yeah,
like,
so you're in a room full of people and
how
I didn't know anybody.
There?
There was like 15.
Oh.
Like in this like tent hut.
Could you do it alone if you wanted?
I don't think you could do it alone. You have to do it in a group. But you're doing it alone. Like once you do it, there's not anybody else.
Okay.
So you take it and then mine kicked in like pretty soon. I started like laughing uncontrollably. I had like involuntary body movements. I was like waving my arms around. There was this woman who's running the retreat came over with like a plant and she was like waving this big leaf at me and like kind of like chanting with what seemed like a harp, but I know it wasn't a harp. It was some other kind of like, I don't know, tribal instrument. And this guy was coming over and like going, you know, like, like just like chanting
like
around
you
me.
Really got the whole experience.
I got the whole experience. And
do they do that to everyone or do they
kind of
like vibe
around,
everyone
like,
up?
The whole
okay.
Because
what did. If someone's having a bad trip? Do they still do that? Do they still like wave a leaf at you?
They still
fucking throw a leaf.
So it kind of depends on how bad you are. Like sometimes they'll take people like outside to like look at the stars and try to like ground yourself.
Right.
Sometimes they'll just like this woman was a few seats next to me, down from me, and she wouldn't like shut up. Like she kept on like trying to sing and like talk. And the lady had to come over and be like, "Hey, dude, like, do you know that you're like talking?" She's like, "Oh shit, I'm talking. I'm sorry." Like, try to.
Oh
sound
my god. Sound.
But the thing that happened with me is I felt like, I don't know if you've ever been high and felt kind of anxious.
Every time
like,
I've ever been high.
Okay, so this like takes that and multiplies it by like 100. And you just feel like you can't control your thoughts, your mind, your body. Like whatever is happening in your body, like all the layers that you put on yourself, like come off.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of just faced with like, if you have fear, like it comes up. If you have like embarrassment, it comes up. If you have love, it comes up.
But about specific stuff or just in general?
I think it's just like all the stuff you've been repressing for like your whole life.
Okay, so it'll just be like, oh, like 3 years ago when I said that one thing.
It's nothing specific. For me, it wasn't anything specific.
Okay, okay.
It wasn't like, oh, like I fucked up that one day and I feel bad about that one thing. It wasn't like that. It was just like, just this overarching emotion just cascading through your body. And it's so uncomfortable to feel. Mm-hmm. Like normally you can like eat pizza. Mm-hmm. Normally you can like call a friend. But this, there's nothing you can do.
You just have to deal with it.
Yeah, I kind of explain it like, it's like somebody taking your face and like holding it at your shit and like not letting you move. And this lasts for like 6 to 8 hours. Mine lasted until 8 in the morning.
What?
And so you
sat there till 8 or?
Uh-huh. I did. And people ask me like, why couldn't you like go ask for help or like tell them you're having a hard time? And I was like, because it's like I couldn't formulate like words, you know?
Right.
And so it's, there was one moment. If you are good at letting go of control, I think it can get really nice. Because there was this one, like, 20-minute time where I was like, okay, I'm just going to, like, let it take over. Like, just let go of the control. And I remember it felt like I was, like, floating and, like, flying. And it was really nice. But then I would start to get in my mind, like, no, control it. Control it. I don't like it. I don't like it. And then I would start to get into, like, the paranoia fear cycle again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can learn to let go, which I think is kind of the point of this.
Exactly. It sounds like that is the ultimate point of this.
If you could just be like, I'm just going to go with this. I'm going to feel it. Then I think it could be, like, really... a really enjoyable thing.
Because I think that's even the point of just regular meditation and regular spiritual. Yeah, it's just like...
like surrendering.
Crazy shit happening and then your reaction just being chill to that.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what
it
is.
Like kind of having like a disassociated... not disassociated, being able to look at your reaction and not react.
And just being like, that's not me. It doesn't have to do with me.
Yeah,
and I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And so that's cool.
Yeah, if you could have that reaction, it would be.
Because I'm the opposite of that. So
I'm the opposite also.
I like can't fucking meditate. Like it's the one thing. Like I don't drink. Like I've been like fucking sober for a minute. And like one of the things is like you gotta meditate. Like a spiritual meditate. And I'm like, it's the one thing I like. I'm constantly like, yeah, I'll do everything but that. Like, I've given it the big, like, the most shot, and I think...
But you haven't, is it? Like, you think that you have because you've gone to, like, an AA meditation.
No, I've been had to, like, sat there with a therapy, and, like, they see you sit for fucking hours, and you do this thing, and, like, and I've given it, like...
You probably shouldn't sit for hours the first time you did it.
Exactly.
It's a fucking night. It's like we do it. Yeah, so we do it. Like, I do it, like, my therapist fucking makes me do it. Like, he makes me, like, sit there and do it. And it's just, like, sometimes I can, like, lately I've been, like, all right, I'll just, like, go with the flow. But, like, it, I can't stop, my brain don't stop thinking about stuff. And it's,
well,
like.
Well, you know you're not the only one.
Yeah, I know. It's, like, I just, like, I haven't, any of my dad's, like, I got into it for a long time. And he was just, like, and I'm just, like, it's one of those things that, like, I wish I was good at. Like, I just wish that I was, like, good at it, and I would, because I know it would solve
it. But you don't get good at it. That's the thing.
Nobody's good at it.
Everything that you think about it is the opposite of what it is. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Like, thoughts happen and stuff.
Yeah, like, you can think of stuff and then just, like, in the moment be like, okay, why am I thinking about this? And then just, like, let it keep going, you know? And it's okay. And then you just try to come back to it. And the more you do it, the more you're able to come back and stay in that spot.
Yeah, it's just a hard thing for me.
For sure. But also, you can go do it in nature. You know, you can, like, do it in different places. I don't think doing it at your therapist's office or an AA meeting are like conducive to, you know, what you're supposed to like learn.
I'm with you, Morgan. It's always been like a really rough thing. And there are people that do it all the time and they're like, do this, like go into nature, do this. And I'm like, still, it's like a hard thing for me to do.
I do it all the time and it's a really rough thing.
It's awful sometimes.
I try to do it for 15 minutes a day. I used to do a lot more, like I said, three hours a day. And it's not like I got good at it. And I did that for years.
Yeah.
And even like this morning, I had to sit down and it's hard. Like,
But the way I look at it is, like I do it for 10 to 15 minutes every morning, and even if I am sitting there thinking about stuff the whole time, at least I'm sitting there for 15 minutes of the day not looking at my phone, not like doing anything, not talking to anyone. So if like you even get that out of it, of just sitting and just being there,
then you already got music.
I do guided stuff, so I use an app called 10% Happier, and it takes you through courses of like But, yeah. You know, like right now I'm doing one that's emotion based. Mm-hmm. So it's 10 different meditations and they're all 15 minutes. So it's so doable. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like walk you through it. And
Lemon. Hi.
He's my favorite dog in the world. But yeah, I guess, yeah, it's not for everyone. But I also think people overthink what it is. You know, it's not like
I this actually insane did that. I kept thing. Looking for like this crazy, like, spiritual experience or like ultimate peace and or
but it's
something.
Not
but
it's
all
just
it
like,
is like you're just sitting in reality but you're with it,
yeah,
you're not like thinking about like pizza or whatever exactly. You do for the day. You're kind of just like it's actually really boring and, yeah. And I think that's part of it, you know, to like be it. bored, to just sit there and be like
yeah, like that's who you are. Like you know? That's when you're sitting for 15 minutes alone without any distractions. Like that's the person you are. Is
yeah,
the
which
thing.
I hate.
Dude, I also feel like, really which comfortable like with the
I,
person I am right
yeah,
now too.
It's like, I
that's
hate
why
myself.
I went to do ayahuasca yeah. and all those things because, you know, I guess I just got to the point where I was like, okay, I know that this is really hard for me to face myself, but it got harder not to.
Right.
I just
right,
got to this right. point where that was harder.
Yeah,
than
for
actually
sure.
doing it. And it took me like. A while, like I'm in my mid-30s now. It took me to like have that much stuff built up to finally be like, it's actually harder not to do it, and it's really hard to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm also in my mid-30s, and like I'm fine. Like I don't know, I feel like I'm at like a, I'm finally comfortable with like who I am. Like this is just who I am. Like this is fine. Like if I like, you know, I'm gonna make mistakes. I'm gonna be like this person, but at least I'm like aware of it now, mm-hmm. as opposed to just not being aware of it. Like I think it's taken. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it is age. It's an age thing, but like I don't know. I've been trying it, and I still give everything like a shot. Like I'm gonna go get acupuncture.
Nice.
Like I'm gonna go like go do that, and like mm-hmm. it's not like that's not like who I am. You know, like it's not like a real like part of. Like the things that mm-hmm. that like I do, but like I'm willing at this point to like pretty much give anything a shot because like I, you know, I don't want to like yeah. sit with myself and a person that like I dislike forever. Like I'll do anything that like some, you know, now at this point I'm like, all right, I can fine, fuck it. Like I'll do it, you know? So yeah. I mean like it's, but I don't know if I can do ayahuasca. It's like one of those things. It's like, I don't know if I can do that.
No, I mean like it's really intense.
Yeah. Like
when I was, after I was done, it's like, I can't believe that that's a thing that you can experience like in this human body on this planet. Like, yeah. I can't believe
But then
this
you
is
did
thing.
It five more times?
No, I only did it the one time.
But were you supposed to?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I escaped.
Yeah,
okay.
You're an escape artist.
My
yeah.
I just run away from yeah. things. I go to really hard things and then I
And
run
then
away.
You're like, oh, no, I can't do this.
Uh huh.
That's fair. Yeah.
I wonder though if, so if you did do it six times, if Ooh. Like by the sixth time,
no,
it's
yeah.
more like,
I
oh,
think that that's
this
the thing.
Is fine.
I've
you
met
know?
Multiple people who have done it who are like, oh, well, you're supposed to stay the whole time. Like, that's the first time.
But that seems so aggressive. That's seems
well,
so aggressive.
No, that's what I say now is like you have to kind of find ways to ground yourself. I was talking to this about with our music video director. Like you have to find ways to ground yourself to know how to feel safe when you get uncomfortable. And at that time, like I didn't know how to feel safe. That's kind of what ayahuasca taught me is I don't know how to feel safe, you know? Like now I know, like I can call Dia actually, like I can ask for help. Mm-hmm. I can like lay down on somebody's lap. I can feel physical contact. I can like do things like eat a pizza and eat M&Ms at midnight and feel happy, you know, things that like make you feel comfortable. I didn't know what they were. And so I didn't have anything to fall back on. And that was what was so terrifying. Dia talked about like the come down experience, which she was part of where I went crazy.
I feel like ayahuasca really affected yeah. your life though, like it your did. Work, your relationships, mm-hmm. your, how you viewed music, like post ayahuasca Meg was very different than yeah. pre ayahuasca Meg.
It really changes. Sometimes it can change you. Like I was looking for a change and I got it.
Well, how long? Yeah. And like, is it, sometimes it's not like what you're like looking for a change and sometimes it's not the change that you're
well, that's
looking
what, that's
for.
Exactly. Like in the whole like spirituality world, like people say like, be careful what you ask for because you'll probably get it, but just not in the way that
right.
you wanted.
How long ago is that?
So I did it in November.
Oh, it was pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Okay.
A bunch of shit fucking happened afterwards.
Yeah, so much shit happened. And like, I was going to say, when I was sitting there, I had this moment where, you know, the things that made me, like my job, my boyfriend, my family, my name, the things that I did. Like, I had this moment where they kind of like went up and out of my body and kind of got removed from me. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like the word, the physical feeling like went up and out of my body. And that's part of what made me afraid and so scared, is because without those things, mm-hmm. I was essentially nothing. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was nothing. And that is like so terrifying. Like, I could tell you that and you could be like, I wonder what that feel like. But I felt what it felt like.
Yeah, but
and
that's
not okay to feel like. But that's really
the
nothing.
Ultimate goal is like not to associate with anything outside of you, because that's the only time that you can react truly from who you are to everything. Yeah. And, so it's like, you know, when people say, like, you meet someone at a party, they're like, well, what do you do? And it's, I just always, or people be like, this is Babs from Emo Night. And every time I'm like, it's like the ninth thing I would use to describe myself, you know? Yeah. Like,
by the way, I have the best fucking, my best LA hack is if you're at a party and somebody goes, what do you do? I go, I'm in between jobs. And then they stop talking to you right away. It's the fucking best hack in the entire world. Like, now I just go, I'm in between stuff. And immediately.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard.
There you go.
This room.
There you go. Use that. So like.
Yeah.
Wait, so how did that, so when did you guys start writing new album? Like, let's do that.
Was it pre or post ayahuasca?
I want to make sure. We have, I have like 5 minutes left.
Okay.
We started writing the album over a year ago. And Meg and I had been going through a lot of hard stuff. We hadn't spoken to each other in years, and we were slowly trying to piece our relationship together. We went to therapy together, like a couple would. Just working out, being competitive, being jealous of each other in different situations, not feeling... It really sucks when you feel jealous for somebody that you love and you care about, and that was kind of what we were talking about, is like... Meg feeling like that after The Voice, then all of a sudden she was in all these writers' rooms with me, not really having a voice anymore because her and I were so collaborative before, and all of a sudden it was like she was shut off. And then we were playing songs on tour that she hadn't written, so her artistic voice was shut down. It was just all this stuff that boiled up to the point where all of a sudden, you know, when some things get so bad you just can't talk to somebody, and you're like, how did we get to a point where we were best friends? And now if people leave the room, it's just dead silent. But we worked on our relationship a lot. And then one day Meg was in Salt Lake and I was in LA, and I called my younger sister Jade and I said, I'm feeling really lonely. I've been doing a solo career for years and it sucks. I never wanted to do this. I never wanted to be making things alone. And especially in LA, you know, just finding people that you trust and that can support you and your art and help you kind of open yourself up is so important.
Yeah. And it's also like kind of rare.
It's so rare.
It's like a rare thing to like find. And I mean, like we've been like pretty lucky. There's been roadblocks, obviously, but like it's rare and it's hard. Mm-hmm. But so, I mean, like, totally feeling alone here is very, very easy.
And I feel like people. Oh, go
ahead. Did that end up just influencing the kind of music you guys made, the kind of songs you wrote?
I think so. Yeah. We had no vision for the album, really. We just wanted to write stuff that made us feel good. And, we don't know how to write a hit song.
our vision was like, we were struggling. Like, our relationship was struggling. Our music was struggling. We had to work through a lot of stuff. We still are. And so because I always felt like it was so dark, like, we needed to write something that was, like, fun and dancey. And lyrically, it's not all rainbows and butterflies if you listen to it. But musically, we wanted to keep it, like, upbeat and, like, and fun. Mm-hmm. Like, that was something that we set out to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to make people feel like, this might sound weird, but I listen to our album a lot myself. Which,
that's not weird. That's absolutely like the least weird thing.
Okay, but I mean, quite often I'll get really down on myself, and just being in LA and trying to be in this hustle, and, you know, one day I'll be like, I'm in my mid-30s. I'm a waitress. I have to go like serve at brunch hour. I'm trying to like... work. I'm trying to release this album. And then I'm like, what am I doing? Or I'm not married yet. Or all these things come up and I start to freak out. And then I put on the album and I feel
powerful in a way, or positive or enlightened, or like, I can actually take on this Tuesday now. And I feel like that's what I want people to feel like when they put on the Happy Sad album, is that they just feel like, okay, there's a friend with them. It's okay. You know, if you're going to your job that you're not super stoked about, then we're just all trying to do this thing together.
We're all in this bitch together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to freak out in LA, or it's easy to freak out wherever you are, because everybody's just trying to get.
But especially here, like everyone is trying to do something that like one ups the other person. And everyone is like, you know, kind of going back to like, what do you do? And then it's kind of just to get something from you, or I don't know. We live in the craziest city.
I've said this a bunch in here, but like my dream is to just like work at Albertsons.
Yeah, like it's sometimes like really, my dream like, is to work like, at a Trader Joe's down the street from
just
my house.
Honestly, yes. It's just a dream. Like, it is. Like, and a lot of people don't understand that like, work in music and entertainment, because it's, like, so mind-alteringly destructive and, like, scary, and fucking everybody's, like, a, you know, it's like, who the fuck can we trust? It's like, and I'm just like, I just want to go to work and talk to a bunch of old people and know exactly what's going to happen when I leave, and then when I leave I can like not think about that instead of like worrying about waking up and like having 8,000 fires to put out and like you know. And it's like it's a really hard thing. It's hard to work and live and be alive here. It's like it is hard.
It
like,
really is.
So I'm like, that makes so much sense. I mean, especially to me and Babs. So like that, like that's pretty awesome that that's what the album is about, and that's what you guys tried to do. Will there be a
tour? Yes, we're touring in September.
Nice.
And we're hoping to tour. We're submitting for a bunch of fall tours and hoping to do that. And our music video's out. I actually got our music video director through Instagram.
Stop. That's awesome.
It's Saman Kesh. He's a freaking genius. I'm obsessed with him as a human being.
So did he hit you up, or did you guys
hit him up? No, I hit him up because he directed this incredible short film called Controller. And I watched it, just fell in love. It's a beautiful piece of art and really intense. And I hit him up on Instagram, and it was something like, okay, you're never going to respond, but I would die if you directed a music video for us. And he responded, and we just shot it the other day. I think we shot from 7 a.m. till midnight, and then the next day until 2 in the morning. But it was a lot. And Meg and I, he was kind of having us improv in the middle of it. When the robot's trying to kill us, he was trying to improv. He was just like, improv about, you know, what did he say? Like, your biggest failures, or like your biggest baggage or something. And I was like, oh, Meg. And it was just so intense. And Meg and I both started crying. And Meg was like, I should have been happy for you. Like, talking you about like the voice.
We had stuff. It was so intense. Because Dia's really good. She's an actress. So she knows this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an actress by any means. And he kept on saying, okay, let's give the girls time to get into the space. And I was like, what's the space? Yeah. But the space is as vulnerable and open as you could be. And so Dia would look at me and like her eyes would get all watery. And she kept saying this thing to get me in the space, which so worked.
What did I say?
He kept saying like, you're not alone.
Aww.
He kept saying like, you're not alone. You're not alone. And then you start watering up. And I just would like start
Meg
crying.
Would just lose it.
And then we just would get into it like,
yeah.
You never listen to me. What? You know, just like started fighting and crying. Like,
it's a real BTS. I love that.
It's going to be in the video.
Oh, really?
Our fight is going to be in the video.
Can't wait to see it.
Who knows what fight, but
one of the fights.
Yeah, we did a lot of improv fights, but it was fun for me. I did improv over at UCB. Have you guys gone to the UCB show?
Yeah, yeah.
So
all
I
the
finished
time.
Like that improv school, and I was so excited to improv.
Yeah, you're like, this is my moment.
It's like, Meg, let's go.
And I was like, how's this gonna happen? I can't try. But it was so easy.
Hell yeah. Well, I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to hear the album. And thank you guys so much for being here.
No,
this has been
for
so fun.
Us.
Yeah, this was a cool one.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. And anything that you guys have coming up, you just let us know.
Cool. Okay, I feel like we should say some things because we always forget.
Yeah,
to
do
say
the things. Plug the things.
The things are Our band name is Meg Dia.
Our Instagram, know, hopefully by now.
But you never know. I mean, we played a whole show without saying our band name once. Nice. So it's just safe to say
our
that.
Our manager got
there
mad.
People come in the middle.
He was like, you should probably introduce yourselves. Yeah. I was like, I was really nervous. This is our first show in 10 years. I forgot who we were.
It's good. We're getting better. Instagram, Megan Dia Music.
Album, Happy Sad. That's it.
Yeah, maybe check out the music video. It's a music video for a song called The...
It's not The American Spirit. It's American Spirit. It's called American Spirit. We took out the...
Cool. We'll link that in our post. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food. So come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.